Why?
For Jamie. Because of that goddamn stubborn redskin. Because he's my friend, Dex realized. Over all these years, he's been the one real friend I've got. Dex sat on the edge of his bunk, gripping its sides with both hands, suddenly aware of the truth of it. Raleigh Kinnear, all the people he knew from business, from the Foundation, his social acquaintances, even his various wives. Jamie's the only one among them who's a real friend. A pain in the ass, that's true, but all he's ever wanted from me is to help him explore Mars. And I'm here to take that away from him. LAD landing in 10 minutes, the PA speakers announced. Jamie looked up from his laptop's display. He'll be here in 10 minutes. Slowly he got to his feet and started for the main airlock hatch. Then he hesitated and made a detour toward the infirmary. BJ was at the desk that they had shoehorned in next to the accordion fold door. "Would you like to come and greet Dex?" he asked her, trying to make it sound light.
"Need some moral support, love?" she countered.
He grinned despite himself. "Only a couple tons worth." BJ closed her laptop gently and got to her feet. He saw that she was wearing a light peach-colored sweater and a knee-length skirt instead of her usual coveralls. "You expected this, didn't you?" Jamie said. She smiled at him, dazzling white teeth against her dark skin, and he realized all over again how much smarter she was than he. They stood off to one side of the airlock hatch, where they could look through the dome's transparent wall out onto the bare, rust-red ground and the towering cliffs off in the distance. A broad area had been cleared of rocks and scoured smooth by uncounted landings of LAVs. A pair of the spindly vehicles stood off by the edge of the landing area, looking like big metallic spiders. Sunlight glinted off their bulbous glass-steel canopies. "LAV landing in 1 minute," the overhead speakers announced. Then it switched to the computer-synthesized voice of the automated countdown. 55 seconds. 54. Jamie felt his palms sweating. What if there's a malfunction? What if they have to abort the landing? What if the landing struts fail? What if... VJ squeezed his arm and pointed with her other hand.
Look! There it is!
The LAV grew from a black dot against the yellowish sky and took on solid form. Jamie could even see the skinny landing struts sticking out from the corners of the boxy main body. The craft seemed to stagger momentarily as a burst of rocket exhaust flared from its main nozzle. Then it straightened, turned slightly in midair, and descended straight down. Even through the insulated wall of the dome, Jamie could hear the thin screeching of its attitude jets. Dust and pebbles flew from the landing field as the LAV settled down softly, its thin legs flexing.
"They're down!" VJ exclaimed.
Jamie let out the breath that he'd been holding for the past 12 seconds. It took a seemingly endless time for the access tube to crawl out and connect with the LAV's airlock. The few dozen people clustered around the dome's airlock hatch faded back as Jamie and VJ went to the hatch. Jamie saw that Chang was already there, in a crisply fresh set of sky-blue coveralls.
"Dr. Waterman," said the mission director with a slight bow.
"Dr. Chang," Jamie replied, dipping his chin in return. Jamie found himself licking his lips as a pair of technicians swung the airlock hatch open. "What should I say to Dex? Should I let Chang greet him first? How's he going to be after coming all this way?" Dex Trumbull was the first person to come through the access tunnel. He was wearing a short-sleeved sports shirt of pale lemon hanging loosely over dark slacks and carrying a black soft-sided travel bag in one hand. He stepped over the sill of the hatch, glanced around. Jamie suddenly realized that Dex had worked just as hard as he himself to keep the exploration of Mars alive. He's come all this way when he could have stayed home. Dex walked past Chang and straight to Jamie. Jamie took a step toward him. Dex dropped his bag, and the two men suddenly clasped each other in a profound embrace of warm friendship.
"Welcome back to Mars," Jamie said, his voice strangely throaty.
Dex grinned the way he had 23 years earlier when they had first explored the cliff structures together.
"I didn't think it had hit me this way, Jamie. But it's good to be back." damned good. Dithonium Base, Excursion. Jamie clutched Dex's shoulders for several wordless moments. At last the two men stepped back from each other, both of them grinning broadly. Dex recognized Vijay.
Well, how are you, gorgeous?
I'm fine, Dex. Glad to see you here.
She put her hands on his shoulders and bussed him on the cheek. And you know Dr. Chang, of course, Jamie said, gesturing toward the mission director. Chang stepped forward stiffly and offered his hand.
A pleasure to see you again, Dr. Chang, Dex said. Welcome to Trombol Exploration Center, said Chang, using the base's official name.
Dex nodded, then glanced around.
My father'd be very impressed with all this. Please allow me to show you our humble base.
Dex glanced at Jamie. Go ahead, Jamie said. I'll take care of your baggage.
Hey, this is it, Dex said, bending to pick up his travel bag. I leave when the torch ship goes.
A sudden idea struck Jamie. In that case, why don't you come with us this afternoon? Chang's eyes narrowed, but he said nothing.
Come? Where? Dex asked. We're going out on an overnight excursion to Crater Chang.
Safety regulation, Chang murmured.
It is necessary, Dex interrupted.
Dr. Chang, I'm an experienced geologist. I've driven a camper more than 1,000 kilometers overland.
More than 20 years ago, Chang pointed out.
The campers haven't changed that much, and I've passed all my physicals.
So did Monsignor Di Nardo.
Dex's expression tightened slightly.
I'm not going to die on you, Dr. Chang, and I'd like to get outside, after you show me around the base.
Chang looked from Dex's blue-green eyes to Jamie, then back again.
I know of your experience in overland excursion. No one has driven camper further.
Then it's okay?
If scientific director agrees,
Jamie said, I think it will be good for Dr. Trumbull to accompany Hasdrubal and me on the excursion. It's only overnight. We'll be back the day after tomorrow.
In time for the torch ship's departure, Dex added.
With a laugh, Jamie said, We won't leave you stranded here, Dex.
Good.
He hefted his travel bag. I only brought a couple days' worth of underwear.
While Chang escorted Dex on a tour of the base dome, Jamie took Dex's bag and, with Vijay beside him, carried it to the compartment that would serve as Dex's quarters.
Do you think it's all that good an idea, taking him out on your excursion? She asked.
Jamie tossed the bag on the compartment's bunk, noting almost unconsciously how lightly it floated in the gentle Martian gravity.
A very good idea, he replied as they started back toward the infirmary. I want Dex to see what we're doing here.
But what about the village?
We'll take a look at it on our way out to the cable lifts.
Vijay shook her head ever so slightly.
Carlton's going to be disappointed.
We'll look at the village, Jamie repeated. But I want Dex to see this new crater and the work that Hasdrubal's doing.
I hope you know what you're doing.
Me too, Jamie said.
After a brief lunch with Chang in his office, Jamie bustled Dex to the main airlock, where they pulled on nanofabric suits.
These things really work? Dex asked, looking dubious.
Jamie nodded. Everybody uses them now.
Pretty flimsy.
The astronaut serving a safety officer almost scowled at him.
They're the best damn protection you can have, he said firmly. A hell of a lot better than those old clunkers. Even Dr. Carlton is using them now.
As if on cue, Carter Carlton came striding up toward them. Jamie introduced the anthropologist to Dex.
Coming out to see the excavation, Carlton said as he reached for one of the suits hanging limply in their locker. It wasn't the question.
We'll stop by and take a look, Jamie replied. We're on our way out to see Crater Chang.
Chang, Carlton's voice went flat.
I've been following your work on the village, Dex said, suddenly diplomatic.
Fantastic stuff, especially the graveyard.
Yes, said Carlton.
Complete skeletons, Dex went on, shrugging his arms into the suit's backpack.
We're trying to get the news nets to carry a special on your work.
Carlton said nothing.
He stepped into the leggings of the suit he'd chosen, pulled them up over his hips, and then worked his arms into the sleeves. Once all three of them were in their suits with the bubble helmets inflated,